the New Haven Railroad train was running, you know, no schedules. Just as they filled up, they left. There were people literally standing where you would be sitting. You'd sit down. There was somebody, but at that point, it was one of these things where whatever it takes. Everybody was totally cooperative. Many people on the train covered from head to toe with the soot and the dust from the Trade Center, almost in a shock. They were like, just, you know, totally bewildered. Didn't want to even talk. Got back here to Portchester, Maryland, picked us up, took us to the house here.
Well, I was waiting for you. I guess they had these fighter planes or something over New York, and that was the first time I had left the house, and I went out, and it was a beautiful day. I was waiting outside the car, and these two planes zipped by, and there was this old codger at the train station, and he saw me look, and he said, "Yeah. Last time I saw anything like this was Pearl Harbor. This feels like Pearl Harbor." You know, people trying to put this in some sort of context. It was very normal, except when people would get off and when he came, it was. You didn't have your mind wrapped around it yet at that point. I don't know how else to put it. I was very glad to see you, but there were just these dusty, bedraggled-looking people just pouring out of the train.
One of the ways I sort of describe it, because again, a majority of Americans and New Yorkers witnessed it, either saw it from outside or watched it on TV. It's kind of like being in a car accident, your own personal accident that the entire world knows about and is constantly asking you about. That was the reaction I had for the first 6 months. You know, so somebody's like watching this accident take place on video, let's say, but I'm in the car and I went through it and I thankfully survived, walked away from the accident. Again, none of us knew at the time it happened. Believe me, if anybody knew, told us that at 8:40 this building will be collapsing in an hour and 10 minutes, you have an hour and 10 minutes, you have 59 minutes to get out of the building, it would have been mass panic. The firefighters handled the situation in an incredibly professional manner. In fact, the entire emergency procedures, I thought, were handled very, very professionally. I guess there's nothing you can do about the number of people going down in a confined space, but everybody was very under control. I didn't see any, you know, no panic at all. I just hoped that these guys got out of the building. I hope they had enough time that when the second building went out, they had enough time to get out of our building. Just senseless, pointless to lose their lives. I know they were trying to help us, but in many cases, I'm not sure they helped us. You know, I mean, there's nothing you can do. And basically, I thought I could have gotten out of the building in 10 minutes. I got out of the building in 45 minutes.
Between the time you got out of the building and the time tower?
It was under 5 minutes from the time we got out of the building, because the first tower collapsed about 9:50, maybe. I'm not sure exactly what it was. It was within five minutes of our getting out, the other building collapsed. Now I don't know how that would have impacted us in the North Tower, but
why did they make you take that long way out?
I've talked to several other people in the firm, and one of the guys was almost so semi traumatized by the whole process. He didn't leave the area, basically. He'd come in late, I guess it was, so he hadn't really progressed up into the building, and he couldn't deal with the people jumping, okay? So there was a small construction site that had orange plastic netting, basically to capture any kind of debris that covered like a two-story area, and he and a bunch of guys climbed up and were ripping this thing off, because he wanted to use that as a net to hold the people coming down. And the cops told him, "You've got to be out of your mind. You're going to kill. And apparently that other people, you know, he witnessed, you know, terrible things.
So the main exit was taking you past the place.
People were jumping from the north side of the North Tower down onto in front of where 7 World Trade was, I guess, is what I get the impression. Apparently there were all sorts of covered bodies. When I was walking across Church Street at the time, I didn't notice it personally. I didn't see anything. One of the things that's most disturbing, and I still don't understand the curiosity of the commercialism that's developed around the site. I that's still bothers me to this day. I mean, I But we went back as a family. I think we drove down.
Why, the two of us?
Just, we drove down.
Kids weren't home.
We drove down. We parked in Chinatown because we couldn't get near. And we winded it. We walked our way and we got close. The smell was horrendous. It just is, you know, this, I know, it's strange. I just don't, you know, it's No one took pictures of the, there weren't that many people when it was a magnificent, two magnificent buildings up. Now they're taking pictures of a hole in the ground. So that's a personal observation of that.
Do your kids come back?
We took them all down. Didn't we take them
I
down?
I mean, do they come back from
school?
No.
No, I mean, the interesting, my son apparently, and this is, he's just a little, he's nervous. That's just his personality. He didn't believe his dad was all right until he spoke to him. He was convinced that mom was just trying to hold it together because he was so far away and that soon I was going to be driving up to give him bad news or someone would be taking him home. But he kept saying, okay, mom, I need to talk to dad. When can I talk to dad? And he told me later that he just didn't believe me. Fran was a little better. She believed me, I guess.
Where was she?
She was at, no, she wasn't at boarding school then. She was at, no, this was two, this was her senior year. She was at the.
I'm sorry,
the,
she was in high school. She was in high school. I'm sorry.
So she came home, you know, later that afternoon. But
did the school do anything for her?
They had great records. I'm just amazed. They you know, they allowed her. You know, they realized, and the school called here first to see if I had heard anything. And by the time the school called, I had heard from you, so they were able to reassure her. But she did lose a classmate. Did lose her father.
And I lost. With two of the guys I commuted with every day. One guy worked for, who did Buff work for? Sandler O'Neill, and the other guy worked for Keith Bruett. There's two of the greatest. Two of the nicest guys. Yeah. Just, and that's just, you know, awful. Company regroups very quickly in an amazing situation. Our company is owned by 8 of the largest Wall Street securities firms. We did not have a relocation plan. We weren't a big enough company. No one gave that enough thought. We were able to find disaster recovery space in a disaster recovery with a disaster recovery company in Jersey City. I think one of our parents, First Boston Corporation, had a contract with this company. Basically, it has, you know, it's one of these companies that has 300 trading desks, and they rent out space to 50 companies over capacity, because what are the odds on 50 companies needing the space at the same time? So we moved into that space within 2 weeks. Our company, it was September the 11th. On October 1st, our company was back up and running, only because we have a London operation. All of our computer, we had a duplicate computer operation in London. We needed a lot more equipment in London, but essentially on October 1st, we were back up and running. It was miraculous that happened. I mean, so we were very lucky. Now we relocated in a spot directly across from the World Trade Center in Jersey City, and that was awful, to be honest with you, because our windows looked directly across on this, you know, steam and smoke that coming out of the site for the first, you know, 2 months of it. Just constant reminder. The company was good in that they hired a team of psychologists, I guess it would be. We all met at a hotel within about a week and a half after it happened. A couple of guys went and found space, located this space, and then we all met as a firm. We had these psychologists there, got us into teams, and did a lot of sort of group therapy an entire afternoon. It was, you know, it was okay. I mean, it was a nice attempt. I mean, people needed to discuss it, but it was still too recent and too soon, and not enough information came out about what really went on and what was going on about it. I'm not a person that has had any kind of trauma or bad memories about the situation. I feel incredibly fortunate that I'm here to talk to you about it. I was a history major in college. I feel like I was standing on, you know, the Arizona at Pearl Harbor, and I don't know how I survived, but I survived. You know, this is an amazing historical event. I mean, I don't think we have the right perspective on it. I think that our recent Iraq war, I mean, everything is going to be, let's go back to September 11th. It's an event that changed the way U.S. vulnerability, our perception of ourselves, perception of the world. I think it's one of these major, you know, watershed events that is every bit as traumatic as Pearl Harbor, and maybe more so. It's never happened before on our, you know, the continental United States. So in that respect, I'm sort of fortunate that I lived through it and witnessed it. And
you were watching. Not great.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was a lot of nervousness about whether we're going to continue as a company. Where is it going to be? How's it going to happen? You know, there's a lot of concern.
You weren't functioning as well as you.
No, I mean, but there's a lot of. I mean, we're all traumatized by it. There's no it was a shock. We continue to talk. There's not a week that goes by that we don't have groups of us sit around and just go, you know, what if? What did you think about this? These are ridiculous comments to make, but. The two guys that own that run the firm and started the company. Why did they select the lease on the 51st floor? I'm sure that they were shown space on the 89th floor or the 101st floor. The fate, the luck of being, you know, on that floor. There's whatever incidents go by, and I haven't even discussed it with Jim Toffee. I'd be interested to know: did you ever see any other space, and what made you decide in that space? And that, you know, little fates that determine why you live and why you don't live in a situation that you have no control over. So.